Hi, everyone. Today we're going to talk to Dr. Malia Washington, who's the chief veterinarian here at Pet Resource Center of Kansas City. We're going to talk to her today about a dog who came to us named Jules. This is a tough story because this dog was found in a horse field when the temperatures were very cold, and she had a prolapsed uterus, which is a dangerous, dangerous medical condition. Dr. Washington can talk to us more about what that means, but she had just had puppies, and she needed life-saving care, and our team here jumped right in to try to help her, and everybody immediately fell in love with her. She was a beautiful pit bull mix, and she was a heck of a fighter, and they tried their best. So Dr. Washington, talk to us a little bit about that day when Jules was brought in.
Okay. So I was actually mainly doing administrative work on that day. One of our new doctors, Dr. Jason Banning, who has experience in shelter medicine and has been a great addition to our team, came to my office and asked for just my eyes and my two cents. We do that a lot. We're a very cohesive team of doctors. And he was like, man, I'm worried about this girl. She doesn't look good. I don't know if I should euthanize. He wasn't sure. So especially when we start talking about euthanasia, we really like to be sure that that's the best decision. So I was like, yeah, you know, of course. So I go back there. Uterine prolapse is, but you know, it's serious. It's humans can have it, right? Cattle get it. Basically, when the babies are born, the uterus follows. It's by no means a death sentence, but it can be really, really problematic if it's left untreated. So all I was told is that a citizen had found her. The puppies were a few days old, and the citizen was taking care of the puppies, and they had brought mom in because they were, you know, worried about her condition. So, she was sitting on the exam table when I came in, and of course she was this beautiful little brindle pity. And as soon as I saw her, I was taken back to the years I had spent in shelter medicine in Houston. When I graduated vet school, I didn't realize shelter medicine was even a career. And through finding that avenue, it really led me to my purpose as a doctor. And it's something that I miss. And that week, for whatever reason, I was really just missing shelter dogs. It's a whole different experience when you have to take over the care of an animal who doesn't have an owner to speak for them. It's something that I can't really put into words, but something that I take very, very seriously and have really tried to build up other doctors and technicians to respect the pet's message that they're trying to give you. And I put her head in my hands and I looked at her eyes and I looked at her gums, and they were white as paper. They were pale, pale white. And I just sat there and I stared at her for a minute. And her eyes to me just were so tired. The first thing in my mind that I thought she was saying to me was, help me. And sometimes that means help me pass. Sometimes that means I have some fight left. And then she started wagging her tail. And I was like, I'm not putting this dog down. I can't do it. And I think everybody was kind of on the fence in the room of, you know, what the best decision would be. But I was like, if you want my opinion, I think this dog still has life left in her and we should give her a chance. And that was always what I did in a shelter. Sometimes you can't read their message, but I would always give them 24 hours. I would always give them a chance. And if it was their last 24 hours, then they got as much love and food and cheeseburgers and ice cream and anything they could get to have their very last moments be full of love. And in that moment, that's what I decided when I looked at her and I was petting her head. So we got a catheter placed, we put her on fluids, we got her antibiotics, and she seemed really good. Even later that afternoon, her gums got a little pink. I was just feeling so excited, and she ate dinner. We got her settled for the night. She snuggled up into her kennel, and we all kind of left like, wow, this is going to be fine. So we came in the next day. Somehow she had Houdini'd out of her kennel. I don't know how. Got her fluids undone and was hiding in a very nice bed in the back of our urgent care that Rachel, our urgent care lead, has back there for her own personal pets. And she was just so happy to be on that bed. But overall, she looked worse. And with her anemia, it was really bad. It was really, really bad. But there's different ways to treat that. And a transfusion is one. And it was something that I considered. But when they have a long-term stable anemia, sometimes they can regenerate that on their own. And so she was in no condition to go into surgery the day we got her in. But so it's always stabilize the patient first. That's what we did. And the second day, we got another catheter placed. I actually had to put it in her jugular because her veins were worse. And that was probably the moment when I started to really worry. And I talked to Rachel about bringing her dog in for a transfusion the next day if she was okay and when we would go ahead with the surgery for her prolapse. And so again, with the fluid, she perked up. She ate. She just didn't seem as good as she did the day prior. So that was when I started to worry. I think I was maybe in wellness that day, but I didn't get to spend a lot of time with her. But at that point, everyone knew her. Everyone saw her. Everyone came to say hi and gave her love, and she ate it up. And when I got done with the end of my day, towards the end of my day, everybody was like, she's not doing good. She's not doing good. And I was like, let me go see. So I got her up. I got her out. She shook off. She had a little tail wag. She walked outside. It was a pretty nice day. It was like 45. And she laid outside in the sun. And I sat with her for a while. And she really liked to be outside. So we just sat there, came back in. She drank a bunch of water and got her comfortable again. And after she walked outside, those were the moments that I really enjoyed, is just taking the dogs and getting them sun and having them go outside and just relax. And to me, she seemed so, so happy in that moment. And she was just trotting around outside and definitely wore her out, but came back in. She snuggled up on her bed, spun around and laid down like they do. And about an hour later, became what we call agonal. And so she was struggling to breathe and what we consider agonal breaths, which indicates to us that their body's, you know, shutting down, and she was dying. She was dying. And so I made the decision to quickly just help her pass and not suffer, and euthanized her there. And myself and Dr. Nichols held her head and held her paw and just helped her pass.
As hard as this story is, there's some positive that's come out of it. There are 5 puppies that were found with her, and they are now being bottle fed and doing well. So she's got a legacy. And she's touched a lot of people here. But I think one of the things too about dogs that makes them awesome is even in a time like that, which couldn't have been comfortable, she was struggling, and, you came near her and she wagged her tail. I think that says a lot about dogs.
Yeah, I agree. Making the phone call to her, finder/owner, it was really hard. We cried together. She thanked us. It's the worst thing when you feel like you have failed a patient and their owner thanks you. But that's how I felt in that moment. Whether or not I could have done something differently, I'll probably always wonder that. There's a lot of patients in my mind over the years that I wish I would have done things differently, but I'll never know if the outcome would have been different. And one thing that was really special is that I asked the person that was caring for her puppies if she would allow us to cremate and if she would keep her ashes so that even after she passed, she had a safe place to live. And she really appreciated that. And so did I. I really wanted her to live. And I really am glad that people out there in our community still fight for animals that don't have someone that fights for them. And they trust us to continue that battle. And we don't get it right every time. And we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to find some clients that aren't happy with what we do, but we really do try our best in everything that we do. And we really love our patients. And I especially love the ones that don't have a place to call home. So I just hope that if there are more out there, that you allow us to try for them too.
I think everybody here feels like we have a part in helping those animals. And I think you and the medical team did amazing work, and I see it every day. And I know we don't win them all. Sometimes the odds are just stacked against us in whatever way, but gosh, so many lives have been saved. And now Jules has 5 babies out there who are named after minerals. I was talking to her mom, so she's got topaz, opal, ruby. I can't remember the other two, but they're all doing really well, and they're adorable. So thanks for talking to us today opening up. I know that was hard. It was hard for me, but we want people to know there's an amazing medical team here, and they're doing good stuff.
Awesome. Yep. Absolutely.